Okay, I am the good shepherd. Let's just pray. Oh, Lord God, Jesus, we've learned so much about you. Sorry. With our minds this morning, but you've also touched our hearts. Help us, Lord, to hear what you're saying to us now. Plant questions in our minds to take away. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the I am is I am. That the I am Yahweh is Jesus, and Jesus is Yahweh. Thank you so much. Amen. Okay. I am the Good Shepherd. Wow, this kind of blew my mind. It got bigger and bigger and bigger. It was bigger than the back of the wardrobe. For those of you who know Narnia, it was bigger than the inside of the TARDIS. So, let us first read the main passage. Now, there is a huge amount, of scripture about this. But I'm not going to read gigantic chunks. I'm just going to make references, except for this bit. Okay, I might ask someone else to read this, just because my asthma seems to have decided to get a bit coffee, so I'm going to go and take some Ventolin. So this is John 10, 1 to 17, and 24 to 30. So if you turn to John 10, but it will also be up here.
Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." And then zipping to verse 26, "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Okay. Sheep, shepherds, going in, coming out, more sheep, more shepherds, backwards and forwards. I mean, Jesus was talking to actually two different groups on subsequent occasions, very close together, and he clearly goes over and over the same material. So you kind of get it repackaged, revisited, because they weren't getting it, really. And it was interesting that Gillian ended by saying about our Western understanding. And this is a really critical example of where, unless we understand the culture and unless we understand the Old Testament or have read references to shepherding in the Old Testament, we kind of miss 90% of this. And to be honest, I think I approached it, as I expect many Westerners doing, thinking of shepherding as comforting. It's like, it's a comfortable message. I'm looking after you. I've got your back. I'm taking care of you. Which it is, but it's a lot more than that. So first of all, just a bit of background to shepherding, which has come up in this church before, but I'll remind us because we have many new people. In the UK, we drive sheep from behind. A shepherd herds the sheep, gathers them from behind, often using a dog who essentially the sheep run away from because they're afraid of the dog. In the Eastern Mediterranean, and certainly in the Balkans even, Albania, places like that, sheep are led by the shepherd. They follow him because they recognise him. Now, we use the word recognise to mean facial. Oh, yeah. But actually, if it doesn't take a moment to think, actually, the word recognise is bigger than that, because you can be recognised for your good deeds. You can be recognised by the king for your charitable works. That's not about facial. That's about being known for who you are and what you do. And the sheep knew the shepherd for who he was and what he represented to them and what he did. Because they were sheep, the prompt for that was probably his voice and his smell, which they associated with someone who represented good things, food, comfort, care. So they drew near. They got closer. And obviously, as the shepherd moves away, they follow him. I remember Peter Buck once told us a story of when he was visiting a church or some situation, actually in the Balkans, and I really can't remember the detail, but he was staying with a farmer, associated with a farmer, and the guy said, oh, come help me get the sheep in. And he said, well, all you do is you go over there, you just call them, they'll come. They didn't budge. And Peter said, what am I doing wrong? What's the tip? And he said, oh, watch me. And he called them, and they just all his sheep came towards him because they recognised him. So the model of shepherding that Jesus and his listeners understood was based on the fact that the sheep and the good shepherd have an intimate relationship. They know and trust each other. They've spent time together. They have history, as we say. Jesus said that the listeners, later on, this is verse 26, the listeners who are of his flock will hear and understand his message because they recognise him. They have a relationship. This planted just a little thought in my head, a takeaway. Do we know Jesus well enough to recognise him whenever he turns up? Do we have enough history in his company to recognise him? So back to the shepherding model. So the method, the model of shepherding that they understood, that Jesus's listeners would have understood, would be one of being drawn towards something good because you want to get closer, not being driven because you're trying to avoid something you're afraid of. Another little takeaway thought, which reminded me of the law. God put the law in place as something that would keep men away from sin. It would boundary them so they would avoid the electric fence, as it were, because they were afraid of the consequences. They would go in the other direction. Did that work? No. And it wasn't God's first choice, as we know, as the story of our relationship with God develops. At heart, he's a God who wants to draw us to him through relationship. He wants us to seek him out. He wants us to follow. He wants to draw us, not drive us. So the good shepherd draws you in. He doesn't drive you forward. So that's the model of shepherding that we need to understand for those times, just the cultural model. Later on, I'll talk about the Old Testament and how that was shepherding was used then. So what is a bad shepherd? I'm sure I'm going to get this wrong because I'm nervous. Hold on, let's give it a go. I did it right. Okay. What is a bad shepherd? Well, Jesus says, you will have to bear John in mind, the main passage, because I can't keep flipping back to those passages. He said it's someone who has no relationship with the sheep, who's been bought for the role. He's a hired hand. He doesn't care for the sheep, and the minute there's any problems, he runs away to save his own skin. There's a fabulous passage, virtually the whole of Ezekiel 34, which I'll only quote bits from, where God talks about the spiritual model of shepherding. And this is the first bit. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourselves with the wool, and you slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So this is a bad shepherd. Zechariah 11 has another passage where there's a terrible description of a bad shepherd that really kind of shocked me, really. In verse 16, Zechariah 11, exactly the same kind of stuff, the description of a shepherd who's ruthless, cruel and uncaring. He won't care for the lost or seek the young or heal the injured or feed the healthy, but eats the choice sheep, tearing off their hooves. And I thought, what is that image about? And I thought, it's about greed, isn't it? Personal rapaciousness and desire. Just, I want this sheep. Yeah. How brutal is that? That's a bad shepherd who's not looking after his flock. He's doing it for his own needs. There's another passage which I'll just read out for the tape in Jeremiah 10, verse 21. So they're the bad shepherds. So what does a good shepherd do? Well, God says, in the rest of this passage in Ezekiel, God describes the good shepherd. I won't read it out word for word because I can see you're doing it. He will lay down his life for the sheep, said Jesus in John. Whereas the bad shepherd flees at the first sign of trouble to save his own skin. The good shepherd will care for the flock, feed the flock, lead them to good pasture where they will be nourished, carry the weak and the stragglers, nurse the sick and the lame. He will give abundant life. And God is going to send a good shepherd to replace all the bad ones that the Jews have experienced. And then this morning, thank you, Gillian, we had Psalm 23, which we all love. That is what a good shepherd does. He leads us by green pastures. He has our back. He looks after us all the time. Jesus lays down his life willingly for his sheep. And this is in accordance, he says, with God's will and plan. John 17 to 18. So, cultural understanding of shepherding. Image of a shepherd in the Old Testament. This is when it all started to get a bit bigger. So what is Jesus saying about himself? I am the good shepherd. What is he actually saying? And I've said here, it's important to realise that Jesus is speaking from a rich understanding in his audience about the imagery of God's shepherd. The imagery of the man that God, the person God's going to send to be their shepherd. They knew that stuff. They even knew Who knew? I didn't, about the swaddling of the lamb. They knew all this stuff. They completely got it. So the fact that Jesus in this whole John passage seems a bit enigmatic to us, you know, gatekeepers and going in and coming out, it's all a bit, he was layering that. That was just the 10% he was layering on top of the 90% they already knew that he wasn't explaining, because he knew they knew, and they knew he knew they knew. So Jesus starts from a familiar place and expands it hugely. So the first thing I got is, at a basic level, this is a message of comfort and care to his audience. God, as the shepherd of his people Israel, is a familiar Old Testament theme. So his audience are sitting there thinking, this is not, you know, this is nice. It's a nice reminder. We know we're the children of Israel. We know that God looks after us. Jacob, and there were shepherds all through the Old Testament. I mean, if you remember, the children of Israel were shepherds, nomadic shepherds, digging wells, looking for their places for their flocks. All the way through the Old Testament, God describes himself as the shepherd of his people Israel, not just here, who loves and provides and will not desert them. There's also Isaiah 40, verse 10 to 11. These all say similar things. That's why I'm not reading them all out. However, what we often miss, so the first point is shepherds comforting, God's looking after us. Second point is that shepherds were used as an image of power. Kings and rulers were frequently described as the shepherds of the people, as we saw in the previous slide, where they were chastised for being bad leaders, selfish, out for their own ends and gain. Kings and rulers were frequently described as shepherds, those put in place under God to care for his flock, his people. And this even applied to ungodly rulers like Cyrus of Persia, Isaiah 44:28. And then Psalm 78, verse 71 to 72, speaks of David shepherding God's people. So that's interesting, because of course it says elsewhere that God puts in place rulers and authorities. So we currently have shepherds over us in this country, people that God has put in place to lead us and protect us, and we need to pray that they're good shepherds. We need to pray for them that they're good shepherds. So Jesus, by calling himself the good shepherd, was referencing all these memories in his audience as well, of God's Old Testament prophecies about his ultimate leader, his king, his godly shepherd, this one. So at that point, I think the audience might have got a bit uncomfortable, like, huh? So he's saying that's him. His audience would have understood that God, Yahweh, Jehovah, is the good shepherd. So the blow-your-mind bomb that he dropped at that point was that he's saying, I am that good shepherd, i.e. I am the Lord, I am God, I am Jehovah. Not quite so comfortable. He goes on to say in verse 8 of the John passage, I'm not a usurper, I'm not a thief or one who's broken in, like many you've come across before. I am the good shepherd, the rightful ruler that God has spoken about. For the benefit of those who were slow to get it, in verse 30 he says, I and the Father are one. So Jesus is stood there telling them he's God, because he's appropriating all those Old Testament promises to himself. I've lost track of my slides now.
Hold on. See that? Oh, yeah, we had that one. Oh, this was another one
in the Old Testament. Literally, there's a blizzard. There are so many. So many. That's an interesting one. I will leave up there. So he's claiming to be God in front of them. To emphasize and expand on this, for the slow of understanding, Jesus then claims the power and authority of God. I am the gate, the door to the sheepfold, he said in John, didn't he? He says he's the only way into God's kingdom / sheepfold. And in fact, anyone who tries to get in any other way by climbing over the wall is a thief and a robber, not a legal entrant. He alone, says Jesus, gets to decide who enters, who's allowed to stay, and who leaves. This was a clear statement of kingly power and judgment. Jesus is now claiming to be God's ultimate shepherd, his promised Messiah, his heavenly gatekeeper, his anointed ruler. And if you look up there, you can see that God's shepherd will have the right to judge. He will be judging between, in this case it says sheep and goats, between peoples. He will decide who's entitled to be in here and who's not. Now that authority was given only to Yahweh. But Jesus is saying, I've got it. And he actually says in John, by God's permission, I've got it. I and the Father are one. He's agreed to this. I've laid down my authority. I've picked up his authority. It's all through God. It's all with God's agreement. And Jesus is saying, this is me. I am God's anointed ruler of his people. I think by now the audience were feeling very awkward. Not to mention the Pharisees who were doing backflips of annoyance. Then to make it even worse, Jesus introduces them to the idea. This is in verse 16. I could do with going back to the John now. Yeah. Verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. And apparently, these people are also going to have a relationship with the Good Shepherd and together form one flock, one nation, one godly people. The Jews, of course, would previously have been taught that as children of Abraham, they are already inside God's sheepfold, and they only are inside God's sheepfold. Now they're being told that others will join them, and moreover, that some already inside the sheepfold may have been deemed to have entered illegally and will be evicted by the gatekeeper. This is definitely not very comfortable. All this must have been truly shocking to the Jewish audience. We totally don't get that so many of Jesus's parables and stories and analogies that we think are comfortable and comforting were actually incredibly challenging, offensive, and made massive claims for himself. It's impossible, if you've read the Old Testament at all, and I'm so glad that in later years I've read a lot more, to say that, oh, but Jesus never claimed he was God. Every single thing that's said in the Old Testament virtually about God's Messiah and God's chosen one and God's shepherd and God's this and God's that, Jesus appropriates to himself. He is very clear. So this is no longer a repeat of a comforting message. God loves you and will look after you. That's true. But Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is so much more than that. He is God's Messiah. with authority and power. Yeah. I will end there. Thank you for listening, as they say.
Just going to the end.
Oh. Make you cuddly. That makes you powerful and amazing and able to do the most incredible things with us, through us, and for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.